سوئے ہیں علی، آج دروازے پہ رحمت آپ کی دربان ہے، آپ کی دربان ہے، خالق کونین کا۔
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, hope you're well and you're back with us.
Yes, yes.
Okay. First, I'd like to speak on this. I see you sent something on ChatGPT yesterday. Who is Yasir Hanafi and who is Mulana ASDSI? Can you just give us a short briefing of this?
People are asking me about it, about this Yasir al-Hanafi. So I didn't follow him. I didn't know anything about him. And so I said, well, what does the AI have to say about this guy? So because basically all it does is take stuff from the internet, whatever is on social media. And I was able to get this and then send it out to some people. Okay.
So it's sort of like
what I found was interesting was that there are Salafis who argue against his positions. Okay. This guy has a big problem. he's fighting against Mawlana Isai. He's for the Salafis, they said they found holes in his arguments. Okay. So he's got everybody against him. So he's a trumpet. Right today, though, if you want to be somebody and you're the new kid on the block, you have to attack, like the king of the hill. You have to do that and say that you're better and you know more and you saw this person's mistakes. That's why people should follow you now. And basically, that's what I think this was all about. I was too lazy to go searching and looking about his history and everything. I just didn't want to do that. It's not worth it for me. 40 years, people have been that I've known about the Mawlana Isai, and who loves him? All right, he doesn't need anybody to validate, his status in the deen. But there's so many people that are coming after him, and they never succeed. So this person is just in a long line of people.
Someone sent, and I heard it yesterday, he's the tone that he uses and the manner in which he speaks. Now, many people, like himself, he has a lot to say about the Majlis and what tone they use. But his tone is on a different level. Someone, I can't find that audio now, and I don't think I'll be permitted to play it on air for the listeners as well, because it's so derogatory in nature. It's so, the kind of words that he uses, and you tend to think that you're a scholar and you're speaking like this here. And one is, if you were so concerned about the methodology of someone else, then you yourself would make sure and ensure that you, the manner you present yourself, is 100% Islam. We all make mistakes,
right?
But to put stuff like this on social media and for this to travel to so many, it shows that you just don't care about people and what they think. So when it suits you, you're allowed to put your nail through the skin of others. But when others are, they're not doing such a severe crime as you are doing. But then you throw and you blow your gaskets upon this, yeah. So anyway, yes, sorry.
He's like many other people who have a problem with Mawlana Isai, in that he looks at the tone of Mawlana Isai, but he doesn't look at the crime that Mawlana Isai is outlying, showing to the people. Like, there's a reason why he made certain comments about Mufti Taqi, and it's not because it's ikhtilaf issue, all right? It's a clear-cut issue, like with pictures, and saying that pictures are, permissible. The news, the television is permissible. okay, in Islam. It's not a Sharia taswira. Okay, but that's the exact opposite of his father's Mufti of Shafi Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi, who said that a person who's a Molana and he appears on television or has his picture taken like that, and then his imamate is Makruh Tahrimi. Okay, so if his father was still alive, his father would have problems with Mufti Taqi. Okay, so Molana Desai is older than Mufti Taqi. They have the same sheikh. Okay, Molana Nasir Allah Khan, Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he's a peer by, right? He's a little, he's older, and so he can advise in this manner, in this, quote, rough manner. Okay, no problem. Because of the issue at hand, that if you look at the statements of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi about people who make pictures halal, okay, the strong language he used, okay, but it just wasn't being done by his son when he was alive. All right, if he was alive with his son doing this, he may be using the same harsh words also. So there we have it.
Yes, and just going back to this Yasir al-Hanafi, we've seen this so many times now. I said it the other day. You know, when we were younger, we used to play hide and seek. I don't know if in America you people used to play hide and seek.
Yes, we did.
So one of the tricks we as children used to use is, there's a nice, we used to get thrilled with this one. So we used to put behind the curtain, you put a pillow. And because you're still a child, it will give that figure of a person standing, a child standing there. And then you put shoes at the bottom. So the curtain just overlaps and it looks like really someone is standing, hiding there. And then when the person is going out searching for everyone, so then he sees and he feels so happy, hey, I caught him. And then he moves the curtain and he sees, oh, it's a pillow. So like this, you find so many people today, they use all these catchy titles, Al-Hanafi and all the rest. So initially, yes, you're like, oh, mashallah, Al-Hanafi, and you can see, you know, they use words like Yani and stuff like this just to make people know that, you know, I'm Arabic speaking as well. But when you scratch deeper, you find, okay, this is the reality. And it's become so common now that you don't even need to move that curtain anymore. You just know that this here is a figure of some human being, but inside there's some shayatini thoughts and ideologies that is being promoted here. So you become used to these things.
You talked about playing hide and seek. Yes, we used to, and when I played hide and seek, I was not Muslim. Okay? And we would play hide and seek in the park that was near where we lived. Okay? And 5, 6, sometimes 10 of us were playing hide and seek. But when it was the turn of the person who we didn't like, okay, he was a friend, but not, you know, not the best friend. And we would play hide and seek at night, okay. And when that person became it, and we go run to hide, we go run home. He'd be out looking for us, and everybody was at home. So yeah, we were a little bit, you know, mischievous.
Yeah, so now you're playing hide and seek with a...
I was just talking to a...
Wait, that was our engineer. So I said he played something now. I did say we must play this, but just in a little bit. Actually, what I want to try to do here quickly is I've got this clip, and from this, I want to present to the listeners to show them that because this Sheikh Yasir al-Hanafi and Mulana Desai Sahib put yesterday, I think Al Iblisi, something of that nature. He's gonna have a big, huge program. And in this particular program here in South Africa, he's gonna be speaking, you know how it is. As you've mentioned, I see you even sent us that verse yesterday. Verse 112 of Suratul A'raf was it. And in that particular verse it tells us exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made for every Nabi an enemy. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. And thus we have made for every prophet an enemy. شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ. Devils from mankind and from the jinn kind. And what do? يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And they inspire one another with decorative speech, deceiving in a deceptive manner. And if Allah is
with you, this is exactly the thing that's going on right now.
Exactly, yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
So we find people like yesterday, Mufti AK Saab came out and he said he basically is expelling from his student list this Maulana from the UK, and that is Maulana Zahir Mahmood. So he's opened up a madrasa in PE. And I'm not sure what's the name of that madrasa and all of this, but they are all working together and trying to come and conspire within South Africa. I don't know at work why South Africa is such so much in demand and what's the importance to come here. There's no, if you're coming to meet the seniors and benefit from them, that's something else. But to open up your madaris and try to show your strength, throw your weight around here, for what reason is it? That leaves alone so many questions, because there is so much madaris already in South Africa. So for you to come in and from the UK especially and throw your weight for this particular purpose in PE, it questions a lot of things. But Allah
is always... So what, is there more in England? Does England have more madrasas than South Africa, or South Africa has more madrasas than England?
Statistically, we'll have to see exactly, but I'm not too sure. It will be based on the Muslims also, how many Muslims there, how many Muslims here, and then we can... So...
Okay, alright.
But the point here is in this particular verse 112 at the end, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ, that if your sustainer had willed, they would not have done it. And for the key aspect here is, فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ, so leave them in that which they invent. So this shouldn't allow people to become so concerned and so worried, as you've mentioned, that you didn't find the need to do so much of research and the rest, because such people who have such audacity and such, you know, they're just totally unconcerned about who they're speaking to. They don't, their respect has double standards. It's contradictory. Sometimes you can have respect, but for other occasions, when it's someone you don't revere, then it's fine, you don't have to have respect. So these are just double standards, which we have been seeing so well with the rogue regime Israel. When it suits them, then they will consider human beings to be human beings. But for Palestinians, if you put an animal there and a Palestinian there, they've said it in their own words that these are animals which need to be removed. So we see these double standards constantly. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us that don't let it get to your emotions. Leave them, leave the enemies. They will continuously do so. I mean, if they're doing this to Anbiya alayhi salam, and Allah is saying clearly they are from the ins as well, from the mankind and the jinn kind, and they conspire, they work together, and they use, or they say, okay, he's against the majlis, he's against this here, he's against the real way of our akabirin, which follow the sunnah, hold on to it so well. So we also should be conspiring here, and let's see how we can bring down and ideally extinguish the light of Allah. I was just listening to one of our seniors, Mulana Dawood Siddat, Hafidhullah. He was mentioning his experience of Mufti Ibrahim Saleji just this past weekend. And he mentioned that they were at the airport, and they were coming, I think it was from Cape Town, they were going back to Durban. So Mulana Dawood Siddat, he says, I saw this of Mufti Ibrahim Saleji. So it's like two seniors, but one is speaking of the other. And he said that he covered his face with the hoodie which you have in your jackets. So he put it over his forehead, and it was almost like covering his eyes, just enough to see where to walk in the airport. And it's telling us that, see, even in such places where we consider to become so oblivious, and you still have to be on guard. You're supposed to be controlling your gaze. You're supposed to be Like this, he was walking and his lips was moving, remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. And today, what will you find? You'll find, no, you know what, the environment is different. The airport needs to change, as Mawlana Dawood Sirat said in that talk. But we feel that we can engage, we can go openly and speak to females, which is becoming such a norm. And when scholars are pushing in this direction, then you just tend to think, where are we heading to? But when you witness the true Akabirin and how they're on guard, moving their lips, focusing, this is bringing you towards taqwa. And I'll just say this, then Mufti Sahib, you can add on thereafter. When you see this life that they are living, it's mentioned about Mulana A.S. Desai Hafidhullah also, when he used to go for Hajj and that, he used to use a scarf, and that scarf used to cover his face so that he's not even exposed to the TV, that screen in front of the, you know, in the plane, you've got the TV screen on the next seat, it's in front. So he would cover his face from that too. So the point is this. Is this life taking me more closer to Allah, which Allah wants me to have the taqwa? Or is this life, which they are saying, it's fine to intermingle, it's fine to do this here, as Sheikh Yasir Al-Hanafi, I don't think I'll have the time to play it also. But one of the key aspects which he says is, if a person is living in America, and he says that, and this person is there, he doesn't get exposed to true Islam. All the Islam that he has is about terrorism. If such a person dies, then he does not die as a disbeliever. In fact, he dies almost as a believer. I don't know which category he puts him in. But he doesn't die as a disbeliever, meaning he's not going to Jahannam. So if he's not going to Jahannam, where is he going to be at? So he can't be hanging on the fence. He's got to be either on Qiyamah. There will be that situation. But ideally, eventually, Allah Azza wa Jalla will put each person in their particular place. And that Muslim which has sins, of course, he will go for the cleansing period and then come into Jannah. But on this basis, that means 80% of non-Muslims are in fact non-Muslim according to Sheikh Yasir. Because he will say that true Islam hasn't reached them.
So if it hasn't reached them, that means that the Muslims that are living there are not living it also, right? That's what that also means.
Yes.
There are Muslims in America. There's like 6 million or 8 million Muslims in America. All you have to do is talk to them, right? If you're saying that the message hasn't reached them. But that is not the case. What did I always tell you? That we say, Alhamdulillah, we found Islam before we found the Muslims, because if we had found the Muslims, we would have never founded Islam. So, Islam is not really being practiced properly in America. But even that being said, the non-Muslims, some of them know more about Islam than the Muslims in America. Okay, they can argue with you, okay, as well as anybody, almost as well as a student in a madrasa, all right? Their points are wrong, all right? Their perspective is wrong, but, you know, they know how to cherry pick certain ayats out of the Quran, you know, to try to make Islam look bad. So to say it hasn't reached, you know, and it, especially now in this day and age with internet and everything, you can't say that. Okay, you don't have to leave your house for Islam to come into it. Okay, but again, out of the Muslims in America, how many, you know, are walking around wearing with proper beard and it's proper Islamic dress? Okay, when I went to work near the World Trade Center, okay, back in the 80s, there was a masjid that was in a factory. Okay, it was on the second floor. You come in the ground floor, you take the elevator up to the second floor, it opens up, and that whole floor was a masjid. Okay, and I never saw people coming into the masjid that I thought were Muslim. And when I would get there early and I would sit down and I look at the people come in, they were all clean shave, a suit and tie. And when even the imam would come in a suit, okay, when he would get in, he would put a jubba on top of the suit and zip it up so it would cover his necktie. Okay? So, is this Islam? All right? And, you know, you work there. You worked in Lower Manhattan, and there's a masjid right there, and you never knew where the Muslims were because they didn't look like Muslim. They look like Americans. So, yeah, if he's saying that the message didn't reach, well, the responsibility on converting or, you know, giving the dawah to the non-Muslim is on the Muslims who are living there. Is that correct? So, come on now. Are they doing the job? No, they're not. So, the non-Muslim will go to hell as well, and the Muslim will have a lot of problem explaining, okay, why he didn't do dawah. Okay? People on the non-Muslim standing in front of Allah, and Allah asks, why didn't you accept me? Didn't you hear Islam? And, no, I didn't hear anything about Islam in America. Well, didn't you know Hassan Suleiman? Didn't he work with you in the same office with you for 20 years? Yeah, but he never told me anything about Islam. So now you get called up in front of Allah. Okay? Why didn't you give this man dawah? Why did you allow him to go to hellfire? Okay? So that thing that it hasn't reached, well, okay, part of the blame, if it's true, and it's not true, part of the blame is on us, the Muslims who live there. All right? Our Tabligh Jamaat, yes, they do good work, but it's incomplete. They don't go to the non-Muslims. Like I tell the people, I'm Muslim all these years. My mother doesn't know anything about Tabligh Jamaat, and she's still Christian. She's 95 years old. Okay? So when the Tabligh comes, when they come from Pakistan or whatever country, they go to America, what do? They go straight to the masjid. But they don't go and speak to the non-Muslim. Okay? And the Muslims who are there, who don't know anything about Islam, and they don't do Dawah and Tabligh either. All they do is vote for Trump, or vote for this one, or vote for that one, or listen to the speeches of Omar Suleiman. Okay, but they're not doing any work. So, that's my humble opinion.
The clips are all out. Everyone has shared it all over. So, there's nothing further to benefit from such people who can tell you that a terrorist or a person who considers Islam to be terrorism, rather. And he, as Mufti Saab, you've said now, that most of the blame should be on us. And with social media, you can already see it's very ignorant to say that Islam hasn't reached people. How many people have reached? How many people? The whole world, you can say, at least some degree, they know about Islam. Because Islam is on that which is valuable is always on the attack. So it's been attacked. It's making news.
It's the fastest growing religion in England. It's the fastest growing religion in America. Something must have reached. I wasn't raised Muslim. Obviously, we were all born Muslim, right? But I wasn't raised in a Muslim family. How did I become Muslim? Okay. Half of the Muslims in America are new Muslims. Reverts. Half of them. And they say it's somewhere between 6 million, 8 million, or whatever you want to say. Okay? So, I did about it. Okay, and when the World Trade Center happened, the amount of people who accepted Islam increased. Now, look what happened in Gaza. The amount of people who are accepting Islam increased. Okay? Every time there's, you know, a big problem, a big event, Islam increases. Okay, so how is that possible? Churches are closing down and being sold, and Muslims are buying these churches and turning them into masjids. Okay, so yeah, something's happening.
Something's happening.
Oh, no, it's just a joke. Yes, but again, it's not because of the work that we're doing, though. Okay, how did Islam get to Indonesia? By trade, huh? Right? The Sahaba didn't speak the language. There's so many languages there, right? And the people looked at them and said, man, why are you so different? You got wearing white, and in the day you fight like tigers, and at night you cry like babies, and you're so clean, you know, washing is everything. Muslim. Yeah. Tell me about that. And then the whole country became Muslim. So how how long has Islam been in America? How come all of America is not Muslim? How come we still have lacks of Christians in Pakistan?
Exactly.
If Muslims are following Islam, there should be no Christians in Pakistan. Okay, so the blame is on us. We're not doing the job. We have the truth and we're not giving it to anyone. We're keeping it for ourselves, and even we are not acting on it.
Mufti Sahab, Jazakumullah Khairan for your time. I know today we really took you over.
No problem.
But it's for the pleasure of Allah.
It's 12 o'clock, and 1 hour I'll be praying Zuhr Namaz, inshallah. So no problem. I'm awake.
Alhamdulillah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam.